She has to say, if a woman wants to say Birchas Hagama, you have to have 10 men.
I mean, she came out of a hospital, so she wants to say Birchas Hagama.
Yeah.
She walked into the men's section.
Either that, or after davening, when everybody's walking out, so you gather together a minyan.
I didn't mean to go davening, but she did.
Yeah.
The mechitza was...
I think she should be in the same room.
I think so.
In the Yagud in Washington Heights, when a woman has to say Birchas Hagama, they have a mechitza that's on wheels. It's not attached to the floor. So you can even start people on both sides. So in the Yagud, when a woman has to say Birchas Hagama, so they announce, when they daven Minchan Shabbos afternoon, so they announce Mrs. So-and-so just had a baby. The one said Birchas Hagama, so they roll up the curtain on top, and the shul is full of people. Right? They say Birchas Hagama. Yeah. We were learning Paragid on Noshe. We left off on Tzadik Aleph and Aleph. The topic under discussion was the Gid on Noshe is in the leg, the back legs. The front legs don't have Gid on Noshe, the back leg has. So both legs have Gid on Noshe, but there's a Machlokes HaTanaim where they're both Gid on Noshe Zarosim. So the Mishnah Paskins. It's noig bein bimin and bein bismol. The right leg, the back leg, and the left leg, both. And the Braisa quotes Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. It's only noig in the right leg. And he says, Rabbi Yehuda's expression is v'habdas machras. That's about 10 lines from the bottom of Tzadik on the base. So the expression that habdas machras seichel dictates that it's the right leg as opposed to the left leg. So the Gemara was not sure what did he mean. Is it mifshit pshita le the Rabbi Yehuda? Is it for sure? And adas machras means based on a pasuk, or is it just a svara das naita? And he's not really 100% sure. Dafkamina is he had a tradition. It's only Gid on Noshe is only on one leg. That when the Malach fought with the Yankel Avinu, he only broke one leg. He didn't break both legs. The Gemara says according to the Mishnah, we assume Malach broke both of his legs. I thought the Malach broke one leg, but both Gid on Noshe are awesome. So the Gemara says, no, according to the Chachamim and the Mishnah, the Gid on Noshe is also both in the right leg and the left leg, the Malach broke both of his legs. That's why both Gid on Noshe are awesome. And Rabbi Yehuda somehow either says Mitzar Asvara or he learns that from a pasuk. So that was the Shaila. If you eat the right Gid on Noshe from the right leg, would Rabbi Yehuda say he gets Malchus? Because he's positive, he has a limud from a pasuk that it's noig in the right leg. Oh no, he's still mesupik. He thinks it's probably the right leg, but he's not sure. So whatever you eat, you won't get malchus unless you eat both. Unless you eat both. So that's what the Gemara was discussing. So they're trying to bring a raya. So they quoted a Tosefta. Yeah, that's where we left off. We learned already. We'll do it again. About 8 lines from the top of Tzadik Aleph Manav. The Gemara quotes a Bryson, it says on the side that it's a Tosefta. So the Tosefta, the Bryson says, Oh, Mizekazaisa eats the Gid on Noshe from the right leg, Gid on Noshe from the left leg, and he gave him Hasra, don't eat this, and he gave him Hasra, don't eat that. So look, Ishmani, he gets twice Malchus. He really gets, Aboim Yakeno, it says in Chumash, he gets 40 times, it really means 39, 39 times Malchus, but the Chumash says Aboim. So look, Ishmani means he gets twice Malchus. One Malchus feeding the right Gid on Noshe, one Malchus feeding the left Gid on Noshe. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, and himself he gets Rabboi. He only gets once Malchus, because Rabbi Yehuda holds only Noig in one and not in the other one. So the Gemara says, Yarmut Bishlein Mibshib Shitale, if Rabbi Yehuda has a limud from a Pasuk and he knows he paskins Allah has the right leg, Shapir, we understand why he gets Malchus. If he eats the Gid on Noshe from the right leg, he did an aver and he gets Malchus if they gave Mahasra Eliyam Tzipuk in the Safkalei. But if he's not sure and he's just guessing, he thinks maybe it makes more sense to say the right leg. So it should be, so even if he ate both, it should be a Hasra Safik. He's about to eat the Gid on Noshe from the right leg, so they ate and warned him, don't eat it. You may be doing an aver, it may warrant Malchus. Then he's about to eat the Gid on Noshe from the left leg, so they give Mahasra, don't eat it. That may be the one that's strafe. May warrant Malchus. Then you have to give Hasra immediately before the person is about to do the Aveira. So if they gave a separate Hasra on the right leg, separate Hasra on the left, that's a Hasra Sofik. The Eidim themselves are not sure at the time that he's doing the Aver, when he's really doing an Aver. So how about that? If you eat them both together, then that's Raz Vadai. Yeah, but it's sound, if you eat them both together, then the Tanakhama wouldn't say that you get Shmoinim. You should get twice Malchus. The Mishnah in Nazir says a Nazir is drinking a whole bottle of wine. A Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. So if they warn him, don't drink wine, and this bottle has six revias in it, we're going to give you six times Malchus, so he only gets one Malchus. But if he's about to drink a cup of wine, they say, don't drink it, it has a revias, and you're a Nazir. Says, I don't care. Then he's about to drink the old coast, another cup. Each time they tell him, Al-Tishta, then he gets many times Malchus. So the Tanakhama says that he gets twice Malchus. It must be that it was a separate Hasra. And this Geron Asher is separate. And the other one, Rav Yud also says he gets once Malchus. It must be that it was a separate Hasra. And he still gets once Malchus. So the question is why? If it's Vadai that the right leg is the one, so okay, so he gets Malchus. But if he, Badi Yamrit, the Pukim Masaf Kalei, and the Bryce is talking about two Hasras, each one is Hasra Safik. Now Hasra Safik is Machlekes HaTanoim. When we learn Makkas, we learn the end of Makkas. There's a Machlekes Tanoim and a Machlekes Amorim, whether Hasra Safik Shmo Hasra or not. Machlekes is both by Malchus and by Misa. You're always going to have both. So the Gemara asks, "Lishamine lei the Reb Yuda," and we know the Reb Yuda's opinion is the Omar Hasra Safik Lo Shma Hasra. The Tanya may have a Brisa. So what is the Brisa talking about? Brisa is talking about a situation. There is a din of Havchana. Havchana is a din if a woman gets divorced from her husband or the husband dies, so the woman is not allowed to remarry for 3 months. You have to have 92 days. The day on which the husband dies and the day on which she remarries, those are 2 days, and 90 full days in between. What's the significance of waiting 92 days to make sure that she's not pregnant from the first husband? Because if she'll marry someone else too soon, she'll have a baby, you may not tell. Sometimes it'll be, he looks exactly the features of the first husband or the second husband. He has red hair, he has buck teeth, whatever. So he looks exactly like one of the two husbands. So you'll know. Today you can check by the DNA. But in the days of the Tanaim, a lot of times you won't know who the father is. So they made a din med the Rabbanan, it's not a din med the Torah, that the woman is not allowed to remarry until 3 months go by. So after 3 months, we'll know whether she's pregnant or not. It'll be obvious whether she's pregnant.
Is that still applicable today?
Yeah.
Wait 9 months?
Yeah.
3 months?
The 3 months, yeah. Because the Gemara says, even if she's 95 years old, and we know she's not pregnant. And even if the husband has been sitting in prison for the last 5 years, and even if they're separated for the last 5 years, and they don't talk to each other, and even if the Gemara has a whole, even this, even that, a whole list of 15 things, and then even if Eliyahu HaNavi comes, and he tells us, Benavua, that the woman is absolutely not pregnant, it's a loy plug rabban. It's a loy plug rabban, if I found. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim by a giyoris, where the giyoris has to wait havchana or not. What's the significance of waiting havchana by giyoris? You want to know whether if she'll marry right after she converts and she'll have a baby soon after, so we won't know whether the baby was harasa bigdusha, veleidasa bigdusha, maybe she became pregnant, harasa shalot bigdusha, veleidasa bigdusha. Doesn't make that much of a difference, but we want to know what's the yichus of the baby. Is harasa veleidasa bigdusha, is he related to a father? If she became pregnant when she was a nachris and then she converts, so the baby won't be related biologically. He certainly has a father, but it won't be related to the goyishan father. But if she became pregnant after she converted and from her husband that she married, then you know who the father is.
A yevama
has to wait before she does yibum. Yeah, she has to wait before she does yibum. Yeah, there by Yibum, it's Mochomer, then it's a real Din Daraisa, because if she's pregnant from the dead husband, then there's no Yibum at all. Then if he does Yibum, he's Chayv Kares. He's violating Yisr Eishes Achshalot B'makam Mitzvah. So therefore, for sure you have to wait. And not only do you have to wait if you want to do Yibum, as long as nobody practices Yibum. The Gemara says there was a Machlokes HaTanaim, and we followed the opinion of Abishol, that at one time that was adopted as the majority opinion, that you're only allowed to, we don't permit Yibum unless he's marrying the girl Lashem Shamayim. But he was only marrying a girl because she's good looking, the Yevama, because she's good looking, or because she has a big yichus, or because she has a lot of money, then he's not allowed to perform Yibum. when you perform Yibum, you're in violation. The mitzvah of Yibum is Deiche de Avera, the Yisr of Eishesach, and it's only Deiche if you do the mitzvah Lishma, if you don't do Lishma not. So that's why Bizman is there. We don't recommend. We recommend to everyone they should do Chalitza. So Bizman is there also, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do Chalitza until after 3 months. Kol she'en oil le Yibum, ein oil le Chalitza. Since you're not allowed to do Yibum within the first 3 months, so you shouldn't do Chalitza either. That's already a chumra. If you have a very big shas hatrak, if you have a very big shas hatrak, then we would be mekel to do chalitza within the 3 months. But normally you have to wait 3 months to do the chalitza also.
Is that the rebuttal also that you have to make sure it's the same mitzvah? Because normally it should be a sedo with a losasa, but it doesn't say anything about any kind of kabbalas.
Yeah.
That's it.
So most of the Rishonim say Abba Shol's din is only midrabbanan. That's the way we usually say. It's very hard to explain it on the level of the raisa. That yes. You're only allowed to perform Yibum if you're doing it L'Shem Shammai. The din is that it's mutter, it's mutter. Pashtus is it, it's only. A Chaimaiza assumes Allah Chalamais, and the truth is that, like the Rishonim, that it's only Midrabban. Rabbi Shol's din is not their eyes. By the Sfardim, that's one of the major machlegs. By the Sfardim, they never paskan like Rabbi Shol. The Gemara says the psak changed.
Yeah.
In one generation, the consensus was like this. And a later generation consensus was like that. So the question is, did they leave it like that, like Abba Shaul, or did it change back again a third time? The consensus moved. So the Sfardim follow their tradition is that the consensus reversed back again, and you may do Yibum, you don't have to do Lishma. So for many years, the Sfardim always did perform Yibum. But then when they established the Medina, so they established the Rabbanut in 1948, so how can you have a Rabbanut? Half the people are going to do Yibum, half the people are not going to do Yibum. So they had a haskein, they had an agreement to all the Sfardish Rabbanim, they all agreed, they're not going to allow Yibum like the Ashkenaz. And then Chacham Ovadia, before he became chief rabbi, when he was in Egypt, he published a tshuva that haskein has no validity. What right did the Sfardish Rabbanim have to sign a haskein? It's against the Sfardish Psak, they hold you mechuyif to do Yibum. That they ignore the issue of the Lishma. I don't know what he said after he was appointed chief rabbi, but
Lushoso shouldn't be a problem at all. Masid Lushoso should be okay.
His own wife.
His own wife.
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't have to wait.
Probably does not. I don't remember. And he did even the Gemara. Probably does not have to. Right. But what sometimes is an issue is a giyoris. So in the Gemara, it's a machlokes. Machlokes by the girl who converts, whether she has to wait 3 months before she marries, are we concerned that maybe she's pregnant? So if it's a married woman who's converting, so there's more of a concern. If it's a single girl, less of a concern. Less of a concern that she's so that's a machlokes. And we paskin that a giyoris also needs avchana. But the Gemara doesn't have those 15 lines, even if she's 95 years old and even if she's sitting in prison. The Gemara doesn't have even if Eliyahu Navi comes and says, the Gemara doesn't say that by the Giyuris. So that's the, in recent years, the Poskim have assumed after the Second World War. What happened was in Ebenezer, in Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer, the Mefarshim on the side, the two standard Mefarshim, the Chalkas Mechokik is in the middle, of Beit Shmuel is on the outside. So they both raised the issue by a Giyuris that you have to wait 3 months before she marries. Is that a Loiplug Rabbanon, even if you know Bevadai? That she is pregnant, that she's not pregnant. She took a pregnancy test. We know she is pregnant, right? So we know the baby was Hayrasa Shalom Bigdusha. So you don't have to declare. So is it a loyplug, like by Yeshashish, like if the husband dies or the husband divorces her? They say no, by Gioris, maybe it's not a loyplug. So it's a suffix in the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch. After the Second World War, many of the a whole group of Rabbanim, big Talmid Chachamim in Europe, got together and they started working on Oitzah HaPoskim. That's a likut and Ebenezer, simon by simon, they have a likut of all of the achrenim, but all the achrenim have to say. So the Oitzer HaPoskim quotes the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch is usually a pilpul sefer, a pikiyus. He quotes, he usually doesn't say original things, halacha l'maaseh. And Minchas Chinuch has arrived from a Rambam that Havchana by Gioris is not a loyplug. So after the war, when they started printing the Oitzer HaPoskim, so since then, that's the accepted psak. The Chacham Avadia has a tshuva like that, and the Sridi Yesh has two tshuvas. The tshuva before the war, he wrote that you have to wait havchana, even if you know that she's pregnant. And after the war, he wrote now that he has an Otzer HaPoskim, he sees that it's not correct, that we follow this Minchas Chinuch's Rambam, that it's not a loyal. So here the Gemara is talking about a case. The husband divorced his wife, and she goes and she remarries without waiting 3 months. She violated the din. Then she has a baby, and we don't know whether the baby is the child of the first husband or the child of the second husband. So what's the difference? So the difference is there's a din of Mekalel of Avivima, there's a din of Makkel of Avivima. You're not allowed to hit anybody, but you're not Chai Misa if you slug somebody. But Amako of the Imo, and there's Hotzuas Adam, or there's a black and blue mark, is Chayiv Miso, Mikala Lovim. If you curse anybody else, you get Malkus. If you curse a parent, even after the parents die, there's a Miso. So here's the Shaila. There's a child. He doesn't know whether he knows his mother is. He doesn't know who is his father, the first husband or the second husband. So what if hikazeh because of hikazeh? He hits the first husband, then he hits the second husband. Each time he hits one of them, they ate him, warn him, don't hit him, this may be your father, he may be chayiv misa. But it may be him, maybe no. So that's a hasra sofik. At the end of the day, he hit both of them, a week apart from each other. He hit both of them and made a black and blue mark. So for sure he deserves to be had again an oinish misa. Kilozeh, because of hikilozeh. But each time the hasra was a hasra sofik. So that's a machlekes hatanoim. The Tanya we have, the Gemara is trying to prove the Reb Yehuda of the opinion, Hasra Safik Lav Shmo Hasra. So they say, the Tanya may have the Braisa. Hikazeh v'chazav hikazeh. The child who has a Safik, who his father is, he slugs the first one, then he slugs each one with a separate Hasra. Kilo zeh v'chazav kilo lazeh. He curses this one, he curses that one. Each time there was a Hasra. Or hikash name of Asachas, or he hits them both together. Or kilash name of Asachas. Chayef. The Tanakhama holds Yechai Misa because at the end of the day he did the Avera, he bought I did the Avera, and it's Vada Yechai Misa. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda, if it was Bezachazeh, if it was Bevasachas, he hits them both, they give him a Hasra, don't hit these two people because Bevada Yol Bechai Misa, don't curse the both of them, Bevada Yol Bechai Misa, and he does both Turkede Dibra of the Hasra. So then, if it's Turkede Dibra of the Hasra, that's a Hasra as Vadai. But if it would be Rabbi Yehuda, Bevasachas it's Chayiv, Bezachazeh is going to be Potter because it's a Hasra Sofik. So the Gemara puts together, it's interesting, Hasra Sofik, whether Shema Hasra by Nisa, by eating Gila Noshe, he ate the right leg and the left leg. And he doesn't. We don't know which one, Rabbi Yehuda is not sure which one is the Isa, the right leg or the left leg. So the Gemara says, the same Machlekes HaTanaim, whether Hasra Sofik is Chayiv Nisa, applies to Malkus as well. The Gemara equates it. And other Mesichtas also, the Gemara equates. They're problematic. Rambam is here, so the Nadi Yehuda claims that the Rambam splits between the two. That the Rambam splits and he says, by Misa, Hasra Safik is not Chai Misa, and by Malkus, Hasra Safik is Chai Malkus. So that's a problematic shot in the Rambam because it's against all the Gemara. The Gemara puts together Hasra Safik, whether it's valid, whether it's acceptable or not, whether it counts as a Hasra to give an Einesh, is the Zelda Machlaik is by Nisa and by Malkus. So that's a problematic Nadi Yehuda, but he claims that the Rambam distinguishes between the two. So the Gemara quotes Reb Yehuda is the one who's of the opinion Hasra Sofek Lav Shmo Hasra. So Akam he says that you get, if you eat the right leg and the left leg, he said that you get once Malkus, because one of them is also the other one is Mutter. What he get once Malkus, so it must be that it's Mitzvah Chitale. It must be that he holds Bevadai, that is the right leg. It's not that he's Mesupik and he thinks maybe makes more sense to say the right leg. It must be that it's Vadai, because if it would have been Asra Sofek, then Rabbi Yehuda should hold that you're not like anything at all. So the Gemara says, not so fast to prove the point. There are two versions of what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda died a long time ago. So in the days of the later Tanoim, there were two versions, whether Rabbi Yehuda holds Hasra Sofek, Shema Hasra, Lav Shema Hasra. The Gemara says, maybe that Braisa, Hai Tana, Sovel Ki'irach Tana de Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe that Braisa that says, if he eats both Gidanoshes, he gets once Malkus, maybe that follows the other version of what Rabbi Yehuda said. He only said one. Either Rabbi Yehuda said Hasra Sofek is valid, Hasra Sofek not valid. But the two versions of what he said. The second version is in the following. What? Second version is in the context of Korban Pesach. The Tanya we have a Braisa. Us is a man, you have to eat the Korban Pesach and Leil Tezvav. If shech the carbon pesach erev pesach in the afternoon, after chatzos and after the tamas shel bein habayim, normally you don't bring any other, you don't bring any carbonus after the tamas shel bein habayim. Carbon pesach is the one exception to the rule. So you shech it in the afternoon, bein habayim, and you eat it balayla, and you're not allowed to leave it over to the morning. What if a person left over some of the flesh of the carbon pesach till the morning? Does he get malchus or not? So there's a machlekes hatanoim. So most the Braisa quotes all of these tanoim and this by their hold you don't get malchus, but they give two different reasons why. So the first tana says, it says loisa sinemen adbeker, it's a loisa, it's an aver, don't leave over. If you did leave over flesh from the carbon pesach till the morning, pesach in the morning till tezvav in the morning becomes nicer, and then there's a mitzvah to burn it. So that's called alava nitaklas. That's a person steals money from somebody else. He violated loy sigzol. So the Torah says veheishiv yisagzela. If you stole money, it's a mitzvah to give it back. So you don't get malchus for violating zela because it's alava nitaklas. Or we didn't learn it in Chulin, but we learned it in Makkas, the very end of Chulin. You have the din of Shiloh HaKan. If a person is Kikori Lefanecho Kan Tzipa Baderch, a person is walking on the highway and there's a bird's nest there. It has to be a kosher bird, not a Tommy Digger bird, not a Trefa bird. There's a kosher bird and the bird is sitting, the mother bird. A lot of times the father bird is sitting, and there's no mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan. You have to be able to tell the difference between a male bird and a female bird. Okay, I think at nighttime the mother sits and at daytime the father sits on the eggs. I'm not sure. The people who know birds can tell whether it's a male or a female. So if the mother bird is sitting on the chicks and the mother bird is sitting on the eggs, l'sikach eim al abonim, it's an adair, you're not allowed to take the eim al abonim, and shalech, and if you did take it, you violated the aver, l'sikach, you deserve malchus. So then the Torah says, shalech the shalach haseim es abonim tikach loch. Then you should send away the mother. So the Mishnah has a machlokes at the very end of Chulin. If the fellow violated Lotzikach Heim al Abanim, and then afterwards he realizes he did an Aveira, and he goes ahead and he does the mitzvah, that the follow-up mitzvah, like Lotzikzol, and if he did steal. Neishav is Hagzeilo, or it says, Bayura, Bayimotzi, and not allowed to have chametz in your possession. If you do have, then it's a mitzvah tashbis, so go burn the chametz. So does that undo the Aveira? And you don't get malchus, that's called lav hanita klase. You violated the lav. Then the Torah says, if you violated the lav, follow up and do the following mitzvah esse. So that's a machlok satanoim by Shiloh HaKan. So the first Tana said, both Tanaim and this Braisa hold that the one who left over from the Korban Pesach till the morning does not get malchus, but they disagree what the reason is. Each one disagrees with the other one's reason. So the first Tana says, bo akos v'litnen esse achalois esse. Torah says if you violated the law of Lesesir Men Abuk, you left over part of the flesh from the Korban Pesach till the morning of Tezvav Nissan, the morning of Pesach, then the Torah says it's a mitzvah to burn. You don't burn it on Yantin, you don't burn Sreifas Noser on Yantin, you wait till Chalamayim. On those men Abuk, you don't burn it on Boki, you burn it on the first day of Chalamayim.
Any of the
Lavanistic
Lesay, is there a time limit when you have to do the essay?
In the end of Makkas, we learned that's a machleg sabiach and a mishlokish. So one opinion is, the Edom warn him, we're giving you a half a minute to do the assay, and if you don't do it, we're going to give you Malkus. So one opinion is, that if he doesn't do it immediately, then they give him Malkus. And even if later on, before we get to give him the Malkus, he does the assay, you lost the chance. You have to do it, of the hasra of the Edom. And the other opinion is no, as long as there's still a theoretical possibility, even a month later, a year later, there's still a possibility to do the assay and to undo the avera, so he's potter from the malchus. That's machlokes, but he said, kima velo kima, bitlo velo bitlo. When sometimes you do get malchus, at a lama nita glass. So again, so this Bryce is talking a person that violated lois asiru on Korban Pesach, and he ought to get malchus, but the Tanakhama says no malchus because it's a lava nita glass. Torah tells you follow up by burning the noise. Bar kasev lit nesse achalos esay. Do the mitzvah after having violated the avera. Loimar, and that'll gain you. Shein loikim all of the Reb Yudah. That's Reb Yudah says. You don't get malchus for lois esay because lava nitik lesay. The next Tana not as popular as Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, every five blot in Talmud Bavli, they quote Rav Yehuda. Rav Yankov is not quoted so often. Rav Yankov agrees with Rav Yehuda halacha lamaisa that the one who violates lo sasir men or avoyker doesn't get malchus, but loyman Hashem who's that. It's not for your reason. There is no such din. He's not goriz that din. Ela mishum, a different reason. Mishum tavli lav shem or maisa. How do you violate lo sasir men or avoyker? Passively. The only time you get malchus, a person does malocha on Yom Tov, a person eats chazer, a person does bekum v'yasei, he does an avera. But if the nature of the avera is, violated passively, he's supposed to eat the Korban Pesach, he's supposed to see that the whole Korban Pesach is finished balayla. He didn't see to it, and he left over, so the violation comes in a passive fashion. So lav she'en bo maisa, en loikim olav. So obviously the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda, holds lav she'en bo maisa is loikim olav. And Rabbi Yankov holds a lot. Lo min Hashem who said, and that's not the correct reason. What Rabbi Yehuda said, lav anitik les el mishum davle lav shem amaisa, but lav shem amaisa in loikem olav. So the Gemara, so what does it have to do with the hasra safek? The Gemara said we're going to prove in this brisa that there's another version of Rabbi Yehuda. That in the later generation, when they were writing mishnayos and brisa, there were two versions. What was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion about hasra safek? So this is an issue of Hasra Safek. Gemara Makis explains it. The fellow has the Korban Pesach, and he eats his Seder. He promises a Seder, he eats the Korban Pesach, and then there are people watching, and they say, hey, you didn't finish eating the Korban Pesach. You better hustle, eat it fast, because if you leave it all night long, it'll be an aver. He says, I got plenty of time. So they see half an hour later, they say, you better finish eating the Korban Pesach. You're going to violate an aver. Has plenty of time till the morning, has plenty of time. So every half hour they tell him, hurry up, eat the rest. And he says, have plenty of time. Then it comes the morning already. So it's already Adboiker. So he, every time they gave him a Hasra, Loisa, Sirim, and Adboiker, don't leave the Korban Pesach. Every time it's a Hasra Sofik, because they don't know what's going to be. They don't know, is he going to wait till the morning? He keeps on saying he has plenty of time, no rush. But every time they gave him a Hasra, that's a Hasra Sofik. So both of these Tanoim, Rabbi Yankov and Rabbi Yehuda, they both seem told that doesn't bother them. Hasra Safek ish mo hasra. So you would give him malchus, but Rabbi Yehuda has a different reason. Why not? Because lavandik the glase. Because after violating glase sira, the Torah says vanoisa baboyka veish disrofu. It's a mitzvah to burn. Rabbi Yanki gives a different reason why you not like it, because it's a lav shein bo maisa. But neither of them said because of hasra safek. And the Gemara raises in malchus. The Gemara raises the issue that they both seem told that Hasra Sofik is a good Hasra. So as the Gemara says, there are two versions whether Rabbi Yehuda holds Hasra Sofik is valid or not. So getting back again, we still didn't prove the point whether we're looking for a source when Rabbi Yehuda thinks that it's a Gid Anosha only applies in the right back leg, doesn't apply to the left back leg. Is this Bataris Vaday Apsak Mipship Shitalei? Because he has a drosha from the Pasuk that's called Das Torah. Das Torah means a drosha from a pasuk that only applies to the right leg, or is it only Das Naita? He thinks it makes more sense that it should only apply to the right leg, but he's really not sure. So we still don't know. We still don't know.
Well, option it's a glasse. Is it bain? There is a maisa, or whether there is not a maisa? Is there?
Let's say the sikachem al abon. He takes the whole nest and mother with the eggs, everything. Right. So he violated the aver bikum beyasei. And still, shalech the shalach haseim. If he sends away the mother, that we paskan that it patters him from the malchus.
But is there a difference between shein bo maisa?
Even if it's a yesh bo maisa, still, if it's a lava nitik lesser, that undoes the malchus, takes away.
How
the
does Rabbi Yaakov learn? How does he learn this?
He doesn't seem to hold from Lavanit the glass. In the end of the Masechta, that's also machlokes. If one in the Mishnah, where the person took Lisika Chemalabonim, then later on he realizes that he did an aver, so he sends away the mother. Does it undo the aver and he doesn't get Malkus, I violated the aver or not? So that's a machlokes in the Mishnah. Well, a Lavanit the glass is really potter from Malkus or not. All the rules of Malkus are based on the Psukim and Chumash Dvarim. Chumash Dvarim is the unique. Chumash Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die, This, I think a few days, a month before he's about to die. He died on Zayin Odas, I think it's the month before Shvat. So he's before he's about to die, he's chazering Kol HaTarkula with Bnei Yisrael. So by association, he says one din, then it reminds him of another din, reminds him of a third din, a fourth din. Each din reminds him of another din. So the Gemara says, in Chumash Dvarim, because this was a one long shiur that Moshe Rabbeinu gave for a whole month, he's chazering Kol HaTarkula. We assume that there's a logical connection between the second din and the first din, the third din, and the second din. That's called smuchim. If you have two dinim in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. We assume that there must be a connection. Otherwise, why did the Rabbanu Shalom tell Moshe Rabbeinu to put two dinim in one pasuk? Must be that there's a connection. What if you have two dinim and two adjacent psukim? So in Chumash Bereishis through Bamidbar, we assume you don't darshan smuchim. But in Chumash Dvarim you do, because Moshe Rabbeinu is saying everything bal peh. And by association, the first din leads into the second din, the second leads into the third din. So that's, and the Rabbanu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, write it down the way you deliver the Shia. So that's why we assume there's always a connection. Yidashin Smukhmas. And Chumash, it says, Chumash Dvarim, it says, if the Bezdin ascertains it's Tikvas Hatzadik, the Hishiva is Harosha, they ascertain somebody is Harosha. So then, Vahyuan bin Hakos Harosha, if he deserves Malkus, so you give him the Malkus. You give him a boy, I can't give him Malkus. So it doesn't say who is a Russia. Who's a Russia? Whoever voted for this person in the election is a Russia. Whoever, what do you have to do to be called a Russia? So that Pasuk, V'hayon bin HaKos HaRusha, is right next to the Pasuk, L'sachsim Shor B'disha. You're not letting muzzle an animal when it's doing work with food. You have to, if the animal has a desire to eat, you have to let the animal eat. So the Gemara says, we darshan smuchim. There are many, many, many famous drushes of smuchim and chumash dvarim. This is one of the very famous ones. All the dinim of malchus are based on dumi delav dachasima. What type of an aver they have to violate in order to warrant malchus? There has to be, you violate l'sachs m'shar b'dishay, you muzzle the animal, you get malchus, or any aver that's similar to l'sachs m'shar b'dishay. So that's the machlokes hatanaim. What if it's a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh? So that's not similar to the Sachsim Shabbadishan. So that's one machlekes satanaim. What if it's a lava nitik leesei? That's another machlekes. Is that dumid de la Sachsim Shabbadishan? The basic rule for Malkus is one rule. Whoever violates another, that's dumid, similar to lav de la Sachsim Shabbadishan, dumid de lav de chasima. So that's the machlekes over here. What are the rules? We pass on all it. Lav shema maisa is not like it. We pass on lava nitik leesei is not like it. And Malkus is an issue, but by Hasra Safik is an issue in the Rambam. The problems with the Rambam, what did the Rambam say about Hasra Safik? By Misa he quotes it, and by Malkus it's unclear how the Rambam passes. So we still don't know what is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says, Gidanosh is only knowing in the right leg, not in the left leg. He means that he has a drasha, he knows that to prove the point that it's a Vadai, or he thinks that maybe that's the Din. So the Gemara says, Toshma, we have another Tosefta. Okay. Another Tosefta. Ochal shnei gid mishnei reches, mishnei behemes. He eats two gidanoshes. Sounds like from two different animals. What's the significant thing? To the, I mean, the right side. He took the gidanoshe from one animal from the right leg and from the other animal, both from the right leg, the back right leg. So the Tanakhama says, Sofik Pei, he gets Tzvei Mol Malkus. Rabbi Yudai Mein is Sofik Elu Aboim. He only gets once Malkus. So the Gemara says, what is he eating over here? He's eating the right leg and the left leg. He's eating both Gidanoshes. No, so what does it say, two behemoths? Ochal Gid Mishnei Rech Mishnei Behemoths means they're both from the right leg. Both from the right leg. Midikoma Bishnei Rech is Mishnei Behemoths, two different animals. So it sounds like Pshita the Tavai Li Yisura. They're both Vadayosa. So the Tanakhama says you get twice Malkus. Rabbi Yehuda says you only get once Malkus. Yeah, so what's the issue over here? Why shouldn't you get twice Malkus? Yeah. If you get two different Aswas, then Rabbi Yehuda should also agree.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda should also agree he gets twice Malkus. So Rashi tells you the Gemara later. Rashi writes, the Gemara later is going to discuss this is a Mishnah, I think, or it's a Brisa later. Gemara is going to explain it. The issue is, The issue is, in order to get malchus for eating trefa food, you have to eat a kazayas. Machlokes hatanai. One time, Reb Shimon holds kosher hula malchus. If you eat less than God, you also get malchus. We don't pass like that. We pass in order to get malchus for eating non kosher food, you have to eat a full kazayas. Or, if the, let's say you eat a little ant, a bug, you swallow the whole bug. It's less than a kazayas. So if it's a beria, if it's a complete beria, then also it has the chashivas like a kazayas. So the beria doesn't have to be brias neshama, a whole animal like an ant or a bug or a caterpillar or something like that. If it's so, that's the machlekes hatanaim. So the Tanakama holds, you ate two giranoshes. The only part of the giranoshes that's osman antar is the part that goes al kaf hayerech. That's by the animal's knee. So the bottom bone is connected with the top bone. So the part of the Giranosha that goes over the Kaf HaYerech, in between the bottom bone and top bone, that's the only part that's Asim and Atur. The whole length of the Giranosha goes high or low. The whole length is only Asim and Rabban. Only Al Kaf HaYerech. So what if Al Kaf HaYerech is less than a Kazayis? So the Tanakama holds that it has the din of the beria. So they gave Mahasran the first one, they gave Mahasran the second one. So he deserves twice malchus. They gave him two different asurahs. Rabbi Yehuda said he holds that it's not a din of beria. You have to eat a kazayas. So you only get malchus if you ate both together and it added up to a kazayas. But the Gemara says this brisa, this tosefta, that talks about a case he ate two giranoshes from two different animals. Why do you say from two different animals? Because they wanted to go and leave it rebuted that it's a vadai that you did in Aver. If you ate the Giranoshim from the right leg and the left leg, rebuted will for sure says there's only one Aver. There's no two Aver. So he's talking, he ate both from the right leg. Rebuted holds that it's a vadai yisir. He holds the left leg, the right leg is the vadai. It's not the misupukim misafkle, it's a vadai. And the machlekes rebuted and tarakam is, is there a din of beria? Do you consider the Giranoshe as a beria? So the Gemara says, this braisa ula Rabbi Yehuda itztrich, the chiddush is within Rabbi Yehuda that it's a vadai. It's a vadai that it's on the right leg. Shma mina misha pshita le shma mina. That's it. That's where Rabbi Yehuda holds. You see Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's on the right leg.
You have a kazayis. You mistarish?
Both. So then the Gemara says, vi pshita le on the first white line. No, and if Rabbi Yehuda knows for sure that it's in the right leg, and he ate the Giranoshe from the right leg from this animal, from that animal, so why doesn't he agree with the Tanakam? You get two more Malkus. My Sofik Mem Vesuloi. Why does he only get once Malkus, 40 times? Abayim Yakenu, Lilki Pei, let him get two more Malkus, Emphim Hochmas Kinon, Gon Delesle Kazayas. He ate less than a kazayas, so the Tanakama holds that it's a din of beria, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. The Tanya, we have a brisa that spells it out explicitly that this is the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Achol, if he ate the giranoshe ve'ein bo kazayas, so the Tanakama holds chayav that the giranoshe has a din of beria, even though it's not a whole ant or it's not a whole butterfly, it's not a whole caterpillar, it's not a whole animal, but that's also called a beria. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Says not she hei bo kazayis.
Tanakama said every organ would be considered a beria.
No, Tosfos and a different daf explains what's the definition of a beria. We pass on time. What's that? So Tosfos says, let's say you eat nevela, you eat a finger of a dead animal, you eat the whole finger. The whole finger has less than a kazayis. So Tosfos said that's not a beria, even though it's a whole aver. Here, this finger has three avarim. 1, 2, 3. Each bone. Here is one bone and there's a joint and the middle bone and the bottom bone. These are three avarim. These are three avarim. So you eat a whole avar, that's not called a beria. So why is giranoshe? Why is that called a beria? So Tosfos says the rule is im yecholek ein shmei olav. The Tosfos is quoted in Yerideya. Im yecholek, if you cut a piece of flesh from a dead animal, you go to the A&P, you buy meat, it's nevela meat. So even if you cut it in half, it's still called nevela meat. But a giranoshe, if you cut it in half, you don't call it a giranoshe anymore. It's a part of a giranoshe. But if you have the entire giranoshe, so that's called a beria. It has a shame giranoshe, and if you cut it in half, it's no longer called giranoshe. It's a section of a giranoshe. So that's what the Tanakama holds, that each one is a beria. and you deserve tzvei mo malchus. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, says no, he doesn't consider Giran Asher beria, so you have to eat both of the Giran Ashers, both from the right legs, to be mashlim to a kazais, and then you deserve once malchus. That's the machlokes. So now that the Gemara established that according to Rabbi Yehuda it's a vadai, that it's the right leg, that's also the Gemara, but time am I, how does he know that it's only the right leg? We weren't sure before whether Rabbi Yehuda is sepukim misafkala, he's not sure, and it's only das noita. He says it's probably the right leg, or he says no, bevadai. So we just proved shmamino, mifshib shita le shmamino. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's the right leg, frag more of a time am I. How does he know? Which one of the midrash atarnid reshes mem does he employ to establish that din, that only the ginan ashen from the right leg? So Rava says he knows it from the hey hayadiyah. It says in the Chumash, you're not allowed to eat the gid hanosha. The gid hanosha, every animal has two gid hanoshas, the right leg and the left leg. So Omar Rava and the third white line, Omar Rava, Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Asher al kaf ha yorech. Okay, Yochman says, gid hanosha, Asher al kaf ha yorech. Why is there a hey hayadiyah? One should not eat the gid hanosha on. Yeah, must be hayerech ha miumenish abierech, the right leg, the miumenish. Means the more important one. Here it happens to mean the right leg, but often in the Gemara, Miyamenes just means the more important one. Freg Gemara Ve Rabbanon. So how come we don't paskin like that? How come the Mishnah says Ginanosh is like the right leg and the left leg, but the Shteitach Hahei Hayedia Ha Al Kaf Hayorech? And for the Gemara, no. We already had this before. Last week we learned on the top of Sargal. There are two gidin that go the length of the leg. So one of them goes the whole, one of them is closer to the bone inside, and the other one is on the outside. So the pnimi, which is closer to the bone, goes the whole length of the leg. So that's the with the hey hayadiyah, it's the giranosh. Then there's another giranosh that's further out that doesn't go the whole length of the leg. So that's only awesome the Rabbanan. That's not really Gidan Noshim and Atur. So the Rabbanan disagree with the Rabbuda. They hold that both the right leg and the left leg are included in the prohibition of Gidan Noshim. So what do they do with the Hey Hayidiyah? Sounds like it's singling something to the exclusion of something else. Ahu the Poshiti Sur, the Kula Yerach. That means only the Gidan Noshim that goes the whole length of the leg, the inner one, the Pnimi, not the Chitzah. The word Poshet Yisure is not to be taken literally. It doesn't mean that the Issa Giran Asher applies to the whole length of the Gid. The Issa only applies Al Kaf HaYerech, only that little part that's on top of the bottom bone when it's touching the top bone at the location of the joint. But it means that Gid that goes the whole length of the leg, that's the one that's called the Giran Asher, but the Hei HaYidir. Sure. Lapuki achitzen, only the pnimi, lapuki achitzen to the exclusion of the outer giran asher, the low, because it doesn't go the whole length of the leg. So Rabbi claims that's the drasha of Rabbi Yudin. Gemara says that's das Torah, it means he has a drasha from the pasuk, the hey hayidiyah. Rabbi Shoma Levi has a different interpretation. He says no from the story. It says that the malach was fighting with Yaakov Avinu, and then the malach grabbed him from behind, so if I face you, the Gemara is assuming everybody is right-handed. So the Malachim are also right-handed. So the Malach grabbed them from facing one keneged the other. Yankovina facing me. So if I'm the Malach and I grab you from behind and I stick my hand all the way to the side, so what on my side is the left side, by you is going to be the right side. So I put my hand all the way behind Yankov to break his leg. So I broke his right leg because I put my hand all the way around. That's what Rabbi Shua ben Levi claims. That's the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shua ben Levi omakro, based on a different pasuk, v'heyofko imo, that they were wrestling with each other, yanking with the malach ko'adam, shechovik es chavero, a person is grabbing from behind, v'yoda magas, l'kafi minu, shal chavero, they're facing each other, and the malach is a righty, we're assuming everybody's a righty over here, so he sticks his hand behind Yankov Avinu until he gets his right leg. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni has a different suggestion. How did Rabbi Yehuda figure it out from the pasuk? Not that they were facing each other, one keneged the other, and wrestling, and the malach stuck his right hand. You have to assume he's a righty. You have to assume the malach is a righty. He sticks his hand all the way behind, and he gets to the right leg of Yankov Avinu. But rather a different idea. They were both traveling on the highway. And he had the mistaken impression that the Malach was a Nochri. He thought it was a Goy. And we have a tradition, Yaakov Avinu was a rabbi, and the rabbis follow all the rabbinical traditions, that if you're going on the highway and there's a Nochri there, Kabdeo v'chashdeo, you have to be careful, maybe the Nochri is going to start up with you. So Yaakov Avinu is a righty. We assume everybody's a righty. So you should see to it that the Nochri should be on your right side. So in case he starts up with you, your right hand will be there to protect you and to fight back. Because if you're walking with the Nochri, he's going to walk to your left. So he's going to start up with you. Your left arm is not as strong as your right arm. So Yaakov Avinu was walking with the Nochri. He thought the Malach was a Nochri. And they were walking on the highway. So Yaakov Avinu was careful, like the rabbis recommend. What's the Lashon HaMara? Yaakov Avinu's impression was he made a mistake. He thought that the Malach was an Ochri. The Om Amar, we have a tradition. If a Jew is traveling on the highway and an Ochri happens to show up, Toflo Limino, negotiate in such a way that the Ochri should walk to your right. So in case he starts up with you, you'll be able to fight back with your right arm. So when the Malach broke his leg, the Malach was to the right of Yaakov Avinu, so the Malach broke the leg that's right next to him. So he broke Yaakov Avinu's right leg. Rav Shmuel Baracha Kamei Dera Pabish Mei Dera Ovi Barula Omar. No, that's not pshat. Not that he, a Malach looks like a Nochri. How can it be? No, Malach, angelic. Malach, he thought it was a Talmid Chacham. And there's also such a din. If someone is walking on the highway with a Talmid Chacham, so you should always walk in such a way that Talmid Chacham should be to your right. So in case he needs some service, your right hand will be ready to help him out, to help the Talmid Chacham. Not that he looked like a Nochri, and he had the Nochri walk to his right to be able to fight with him in case the Nochri starts up with him, but rather, the Talmid Chacham did Malo. And we have a tradition, the Om Amar, we have a tradition, Amhalach Limin Rabba Hareza Bur. If the Rebbe and the Talmud are walking on the highway, and the Talmud goes to the right of the Rebbe, means his left arm is going to be close to the Rebbe. He won't be able to, and we assume everybody's a righty. So he won't be able really to service the Rebbe properly. So more correct is the Rebbe should go to the right, and you should, the Talmud should go to the left, so his right arm will be able to service the Rebbe. So Yaakov Avinu thought that the Malach was a Talmid Chacham, because Talmid Chacham did Maloi, and to respect him, he had the Malach walk to his right, and then the Malach broke his leg. So the leg that he broke was the leg that was right next to him. That's the right leg of the Yaakov Avinu. It really ought to be, everything ought to be fakert. I don't know. The Gemara is assuming everybody's a righty here. The Malach is right-handed. Yeah.
Is the Medrash said that
the Malach was walking
on the road? I never heard this. The Medrash said the Malach was walking with him on the road?
The what?
The Malach was walking on the road disguised as whatever it was.
No, there's not a bit. That's what he claims. The first one says there was Panim connected Panim and they were fighting. So the Malach, like wrestling, the Malach grabbed his all the way behind Yaakov Avinu, and that's how he grabbed the right leg. Because the right leg of the Malach is on the left side of Yaakov Avinu. And these two versions, the last two Amoraim, they say no, they were walking one next to each other on the road, and then the Malach broke his leg. And the leg that was next to the Malach was the right leg.
But this idea, when one side over the cover was telling the Koch, that's something that they made up?
Yeah, I don't know. They must have had a tradition. I don't think they would have. You have to have quite an imagination to make this one up. Yeah, each one must have had a tradition.
Come from somewhere.
Huh? Yeah. Must be some source. I don't know.
Roshanter, in the English translations, a lot of times it translates this as a hip socket. So it's not a hip socket, it's a knee, it's the knee area.
I don't know what's a hip socket, I'm not even sure.
I don't know, I always thought hip is over here.
No, no, I don't think so. The Gemara says it's in between the bottom bone and the middle bone, by the knee. I don't know, by us, the bottom, we have three bones, so the bottom bone is flat, the foot, and then it's in between the middle bone and the upper bone. By the behemoth, all the three bones are straight. By human being, the bottom bone is flat, and we only have two bones going up. I think by the behemoth, all three bones are straight up. So it's going above the middle bone, and between the top bone and the middle bone. That's where the behemoth has the knee. Yeah. Then the Gemara says, Vera Bonon, we just gave four explanations. How Rabbi Yehuda came to prove conclusively that the malach broke his right leg. So how come we pass him that both legs are rasas? I didn't see what was so difficult. The malach only broke one leg, but the Torah says, Akin le'yachim and he says, get anashe. He's not allowed to eat either get anashe. To reminisce about the fact that the malach broke his legs. So the Gemara says, no, the Rabbana hold that both legs are rasas, the malach broke both of his legs. Mm-hmm. How did that happen? He thought he was a Talmud Chacham, he thought he was a Nochi. What happened? Gemara says, no. The malach jumped them from behind. And Gantz in a different version. Not that they were facing each other like wrestling, and not that he was to his right. The malach jumped him from behind and he broke both of his legs. V'Rabbanan. How did Rabbanan come to say that he broke both legs? Rabbi Yehuda just proved conclusively that he only broke the right leg. And for the Gemara, Hai behiafki moi, my darshide. Heyafkeimah means that they were wrestling with each other. So when you wrestle, you grab all the way around, so it's only the right leg. How did it come to be both legs? So the Gemara, the boy lalu idach the Rabbi Shua Malevi, another member, the Rabbi Shua Malevi, Malam shehelo avik meragloisam akise hakovet. Yeah. What does that mean? The fight between the Malach and Yaakov Avinu is considered some kind of a religious dispute. Not just that he anti-Semitic and he broke his leg. The Pasuk says, Vayavi Gid Mishimo Adalois HaShachar. So the Zohar has a comment, Adalois HaShachar means till Yemos HaMashiach, there's going to be a fight between Yaakov and Esav, Sorushal Esav, something to do with the fight with the religions. The fight that the Malach had, the Sorushal Esav, is the Malach over here fighting? Yaakov Avinu represents the fight between the Jewish people and the anti-Semites. Biz Mashiach Vidkumin. Adalois HaShachar. Yeah. That's why some on Shabtai Tzvi claimed that he was the Melech HaMashiach, so his Hasidim started eating Gid Anashe to demonstrate. Why? Because Hakei Lech Meneh says, Gid Anashe, you're not allowed to eat Gid Anashe, Adalois HaShachet, Biz Moshiach Vetkum. That's how they interpreted the Zohar, based on the Zohar. Even I think the Babacha, who claimed that the Rebbe was Melech HaMashiach, I don't think they eat Gid Anashe. They don't eat Gid Anashe. But this, by Shabtai Tzvi, they were eating Gid Anashe to demonstrate that Moshiach came already, so the din doesn't apply. I don't know. I would have said single. I would have said also he only broke one leg. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara is going to say that he jumped him from behind. I don't think we didn't do it yet. Let's see. Afterwards, yeah. So he says, why did it say Vaye Ovek? Vaye Ovek, Pashup Shat is wrestling. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda thought, they're wrestling, and the Malach grabbed him from behind, and he grabbed his right leg. So the Gemara says, no, there's a different way. Vayayovek doesn't mean wrestling. Vayayovek means helu avok. The word avok appears, dust. The word avok appears in Tanakh. Sivhacha behayovko imoch, sivhasim ba'anan avak raglov. So there was some kind of a religious dispute between Yaakov and the Sarush al Esav. Ad kisi akavet. It was some religious dispute. The Yomer Abshur Malevi Lama Nikshma Gid Hanosha. Why would he call it? Why do we call it? Hanosha means to move away. Shanosha Memkomo V'Olo. He dislocated the leg, and it jumped out of its place. Chen Hoemer Nosh Sug V'Rasam Hoyu LaNoshim. They lost their strength, and Yirmiyah they lost their strength. So Nosho means to jump and to move. So he's interpreting that the Hayofka wasn't like people wrestling with each other and you stick your hand in the back and you grab them by the right leg. And Gantz in a different image. Totally a different image. Then he quotes the Pasuk in Novi. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Maidich said, what's Pshat in the Pasuk? Dovah Sholach B'Yankim and Ofal B'Yisrael. So the Medrash has a lot of midrashim on this in the Medrash Rabbah. Davar Shalach B'Yankim said Gid Anoshev and Nafal B'Yisrael Sheposhet Yisur B'Chol Yisrael. This is some significant event that happened. Davar Shalach B'Yankim, that the Malach broke his leg. What's the significance of the event? that it represents the fact that Malach represents Teva. The Gemara has a lashon earlier in Chul. Ein chol kalesa de'esa b'lamata she'en lo malach malmaila ha'aka ha'maka osa v'ama lo gadel. Every blade of grass, kalesa de'esa b'lamata, every blade of grass that grows in this world has a malach who hits it and tells it that it should grow. What do you mean a malach? Means that Rabbeinu Shlom set up a system of Teva. So sometimes a malach, there are different kinds of malachim, so sometimes a malach simply represents Teva. So Yaakov Avinu represents the Jewish people, so the Jewish people come in conflict with Teva, and we win, and we survive. That's how the Nevi'im say. When the Goyim want to drown us, individual people do lose their lives. So 6 million people, more than 6 million people are killed by the Nazis, many people. But Klal Yisrael last time, Yaakov Avinu doesn't represent the individual Jew, he represents Klal Yisrael. So the idea of Dov Sholech Miyakev, V'nofal B'Yisrael, Sheposhet Yisrael B'chol Yisrael, the Jews always observe the din of Kinah Noshe to remember this important lesson, that Ein Mazal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael is L'mayla Min HaTeva. Mazal means you look in the Kochavim and Mazal so you can predict the future. Years ago there were people who knew how to tell that. They could tell by the stars what's in store for any given person based on when his birthday is and so on. So the Gemara said this only applies to all the Yom. The Jewish people ain't mazali, so it doesn't mean the Jews are not lucky. It means the Jewish people as a nation is not subject to the Shlitas HaKachavim HaMazolos. Klal Yisrael as a nation is L'mayla Min HaTeva. That's in today's Sedra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Vayotze Osa Achutza. He doesn't go out of your tent, and Rashi quotes in Menesh, Vayotze Achutza, Tzemi Yitztakninu Shalcha. The Jewish people are not part of Teva. Everything in Teva is interconnected. So if you have the Jewish people don't fit into Teva, so we stand out like a sore thumb. So that's why there's so much anti-Semitism, because we don't blend in. The Jews never blend in with anybody else. We b'derech HaTeva, we shouldn't exist. And the Drashim have that Sarah was an Akore and Avraham Avinu was an Akore, so they shouldn't have had any children. So the whole existence of the Jewish people is l'mala min HaTeva, doesn't fit into Teva. Everything else in Teva fits in. Everything in Teva is united. And the Jewish people is not a chelik of Teva. So that's, we reminisce about that fact that Ein Mazal Yisrael, by not eating Giron Osher, Dovah Sholech Miyakev is Giron Osher. Remember the fact that when Klal Yisrael has a fight with the Malach, with Teva, so the Jewish people win. We don't lose. Klal Yisrael doesn't, can't be wiped out. Yom Rav Yitzchak Mechunin, Maidich Sivetvach Tevach V'Hachain. That's, the Gemara is going to explain. There is going to be a machlekes hatanan later. The pasuk says the malach broke Yaakov Avinu's leg, and then it says al kain to remember this important event that ein mazal yisol klal yisol mal menateva al kain leyoch bnei yisrael is gid anoshe. What do you mean leyoch bnei yisrael? The Jewish nation doesn't need gid anoshe. The mitzvah gid anoshe was given in Har Sinai, and it's only written over here in Bereishis to tell you what the background is. But the yisrael wasn't given kodesh matan Torah. Or should he say no? The mitzvah was given to Yaakov Avinu, not to eat Giron Noshe. So that's a machlekes hatanoim later. The Gemara in the Mishnah has nafkaminas la'alocha, not just the nafkamina where the Yaakov Abanov, until the days of Maimon Hasina where they prohibited to eat Giron Noshe, it's machlekes that's relevant b'zman hazeh. Also, the Mishnah is going to have where the Giron Noshe applies to horse meat and to donkeys. Other animals have Giron Noshe also. So if you say the mitzvah of Giron Noshe wasn't given to left the Maimon Hasinai, so non-kosher animals you're not allowed to eat bechlal. So the Torah is not talking about that. The Torah is talking about the kosher animals, the cows that you are allowed to eat, the steers, the bulls that you are allowed to eat, so you shouldn't eat Giron Noshe. But if you eat Giron Noshe from Behemoth Tmeya, Torah wasn't talking about that. But if you say Giron Noshe was given to Yaakov Avinu Koyde Matan Torah, so Koyde Matan Torah, they were allowed to eat horse meat. They weren't given the laws of kashrus yet. So then we should assume that the prohibition of Giron Noshe applies equally to kosher meat and to not kosher meat, applies to all the animals. So that's the Mishnah has later on Machlekes HaTanoim. If a person eats Giron Noshe from a behemoth tmeya, is there a prohibition of Giron Noshe? So that depends on the Shaila, whether Giron Noshe was Noyach b'bnei Noyach. Doesn't mean Noyach. In the days of Noyach, there was no Issa Giron Noshe. It means the Jewish people before Matan Torah, Yankov Abanov, were they prohibited from eating Giron Noshe? They're called b'nei Noyach. The Jews Kodem Atar are referred to by the Mishnah as B'nai Noyach. So was the mitzvah of Giron Noshe given to Yaakov Avinu right away after the Malach broke his leg? Oh no, It's written here that you should know the historical background, but the mitzvah of Gilal Nashe wasn't given until Ma'amin Hasina. So the Gemara here is assuming that it was given to Yaakov Avinu, and they interpret the pasuk when the brothers came down to Egypt, when there was a famine in Eretz, so there was no food. So Yaakov Avinu sent the children to go to Egypt to try to get food there, and then they met up with Yosef, and they didn't realize that that was their brother. He recognized them, they didn't recognize him. So he invited them to eat by him, and then he told, Yosef tells the Memunim al-Beso, the chefs in his home, "Utvach tevach v'hachein, shech tzom flesh, ki yit yoch loha nashem atzaharayim." I'm going to eat with these strangers, with these tourists. I'm going to eat with them at lunch, they're going to eat in my home. He didn't tell them that, he didn't reveal himself yet that he's the brother. So what does it mean? Tvach tevach v'hachein shech de behema. So the Gemara has an interpret, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin interprets, pralahem beis hashchita. Shecht it properly, because these people are Jewish. They're from Eretz Yisrael, they're Jewish. He's also Jewish. Yosef Atzar was also Jewish, but he didn't tell him. So he said, these people are Jewish, and make sure you shecht it, because they're not going to eat nevela. Yankov Abana were careful, they would shecht. So, tvach tevach means pralahem beis hashchita, show them the way you shecht it, because these Jewish people, they're not going to eat nevela. V'hachein, and prepare it means remove the Gilal Nashe and show them. The tool get on Osha bifnaim, take out the get on Osha so they'll know that they're allowed to eat it. Because Kemandi Omar, this interpretation in the Pasuk of Tach Teva Vachin follows the opinion, get on Osha Nesa libnei Noach, that the mitzvah of get on Osha applied Kodem Atan Torah to Yankov Obonov. Doesn't mean bnei Noach, doesn't mean the Goyim. Doesn't apply to the Goyim. Machlokes HaTanoim later in the Mishnah is whether the mitzvah get on Osha was given to Yankov right away after that incident or wasn't given till later. So this interpretation that Yosef told the Memunim al-Beso, make sure you do a proper shechita and show them that you're removing the Gilal Nashe, this interpretation fits in with that opinion. The Rambam has a different shot. We mention the Rambam every couple of years. The Rambam quotes a Medrash Bereishis Rabbah that the mitzvah of Gilal Nashe was absolutely given to Yankov Avinu. L'chol ha'deis, there's no machlekes about that, but the machlekes ha'tanaim in the Mishnah is, why are we bound today not to eat Gilal Nashe? Was it binding because it was given to Yaakov Avinu, and that's binding for all the future generations? Or no, that's not why it's binding. We still continue to observe Bris Milah, the Rambam says, not because it was given to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was a Novi, and a Novi by definition only gets a Hayro Ashoa. The only Novi who was given Dinim L'Doros is Moshe Rabbeinu. So why do we today continue to observe Gilal Nashe? Is it because it was given to Yaakov Avinu? Or no? It was given to Yaakov Avinu and applied for a few generations. Why is it still binding today? Because it was repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. Mm-hmm. And only the dinim, the Taryag Mitzvahs, Nemel on the Moshe Mesinai. The mitzvahs that are binding throughout all the future generations are only those that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. That's how the Rambam learned. And Tosis learns that it's not a halachic machlek, it's a historical machlek. It's when did the mitzvah of Gilal Nashe begin? The Rambam doesn't learn like that, because the Rambam has a Bereishis Rabbah, a Medrash that says, Avram Avinu, the Pasuk says, Avram Avinu was given, there were seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and then Avram Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Bris Milah. Yitzchak Avinu was given the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Hafrashas Maisris, because it says, he planted Shorim. There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, so Yitzchak Avinu went down to Avimelech Melech Plish to Mechevel Aza, in the Aza section, and he planted there. So it turned out that it grew 100 times more than what he expected. Why was he calculating how much he thinks is going to grow? So the Medrash, Rashi and Chumash quotes the Medrash, he made an Omid L'maisris. He was making an estimation, how much will I probably have to be mafrish for Maisa? So you see that Yitzchak was given the opportunity to be mafrish Maisa. So that's what the Rambam quotes in Medrash. Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah over and above the Shevet Mitzvahs Ben Anach. He was given the mitzvah Bris Milah. Yitzchak Avinu was given an additional mitzvah over what Avraham Avinu got. He was given the opportunity, the ability to be mafrish Maisa. Yaakov Avinu was given the additional mitzvah of Gilal Nashe. And that's the way the world continued till the days of Mitzrayim. And then the Rambam has a medrash somewhere. We don't know where it says it. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu's father Amram was a Navi, he was given some mitzvahs in Mitzrayim. We don't know where it says that. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was given Korban Pesach and so on. And then Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu was given all the rest of the dinim. So the Rambam quotes that each one of the Ovis was given an additional mitzvah that didn't exist before. Yeah, well, what's the Medrash driving at? What's the significance of the Medrash? The Medrash says Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah Bris Milah, he instituted Shachris. Yitzchak Avinu was given the mitzvah, the opportunity to be Mafresh Maisa, he instituted Mincha. Yaakov Avinu was given Gid Anash, and he instituted Meir. So what is Medrash trying to bring out here? That each one of the Ovis was given something extra. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that it says V'sachartis Bisi Yaakov Afres Bisi Yitzchak Afres Bisi Avraham Eskov or Eskor. The Rebbeinu Shlom made a bris with Avraham Avinu, another bris with Yitzchak Avinu, another bris with Yaakov Avinu. What did he need another bris? He made a bris with Avraham Avinu, so the bris is binding on all the future generations. So the Medrash seems to understand that Kodem Matan Torah, the Ovis had a partial Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael means Kedushana b'mitzvahs of Tzivana. To the extent that you have mitzvahs, to that extent you have Kedushas Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu had a partial Kedushas Yisrael because he only had one mitzvah. Yitzchak Avinu had a deeper Kedushas Yisrael because in addition to the mitzvah of Bris Milah, he had the mitzvah, the possibility to be Mafresh Maisus. Yaakov Avinu had a deeper Kedushas Yisrael. Every time there was another mitzvah given, so this enhanced the Kedushas Yisrael. So that's why the Rabban Shalom made a bris with Avram, another bris with Yitzchak, another bris with Yaakov. The bris means he endowed each one of the others with the Kedushas Yisrael, and each one had a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael. This is based on the discussion that the Mishlam Melech had. Mishlam Melech has a sefer on Drush. It's called Parashas Drachim. So he claims that it's a machlekes Tosfos in the Ramban on Chumash, whether the Ovis Kodem Matan Torah had a din of Yisrael or they had a din of Bnei Noach. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that there's an in-between shita, that each one of the Ovis had a partial Kedushas Yisrael to the extent that they had mitzvahs. Kedushana b'mitzvah Yisrael b'tzivan. So Avraham Avinu had one mitzvah, he had one degree of Kedusha. Yitzchak had two mitzvahs, he had a deeper degree. And this is based on the pasuk, it was Zachartis Bisi Yaakov. Baruch Shalom made a bris with Avram and bris with Yitzchak, bris with Yaakov. Each bris means he endowed each one of the others with a deeper degree of Kedusha Yisra. So that's why the Rambam learns the whole machlekes differently. It's not a historical machlekes in the Mishnah. When was Gid Anasha given? Was it given to Yaakov Avinu right after the Malach broke his leg, or was it given later? No! Everybody agrees it was given to Yaakov Avinu. The question is, why are we today obligated to continue observing it? Is it because of Yaakov Avinu or no? No. It's not because Yaakov Avinu was a Navi. A Navi only gets a Hayra Shah, a temporary din. We today are bound, we are obligated to observe it because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu, Har Sinai, and then he adds on a Bris Milah is also the same. We're not Mukhayev today to do because it was given to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was only a Navi. It's binding the Duris because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. The Ram makes a big fuss of that in the Pirush HaMishnayos and this Perek in Gid Anasha.
The others volunteered.
Right. In the end of Kiddushin, the last mission is Kim Avraham Avinu Kol HaTaruku Al Shulayn Nitna, even Erev Tapshilin, even Erev Etchumin, whatever. That he volunteered. He figured out on his own. He had Kloyos Yoatos, and he was able to figure out, from looking into the Teva Ha'olam, he was able to figure out all of the mitzvahs, because them opening Midrashim and Bereshit say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Histakel Baraisa Baras Ha'olam. The blueprint for the world was the Torah. So the Rabban Shalom looked into the Torah and he created the world. So if you have a blueprint, and you build a house based on that, so if the children look at the house and they measure all the rooms, they can draw a blueprint. They can figure out what it said in the blueprint. So Avraham Avinu looked in the world and he was able to figure out what the blueprint was. The Torah was the blueprint of the world. So that's what it means. Kloyos Yotzos. Avraham Avinu, the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu was able to figure out on his own, even though the Rabban Shalom didn't reveal it to him, he was able to figure out all the Taryag mitzvahs, even the Dinim the Rabban, the Mishnahs, even Erev Etchumen or Erev Tavshilin, two different gears is there. He was able to figure out by looking in the world all of the Taryag mitzvahs. All the rest were Eina Mitzvavias. And these three were Mitzvavias. Yeah, what happened? What's the whole story? Vayivasa Yankov Levadai. The children, he had grown children, and nobody helps him carry all the packages. Well, why was he all by himself? So the Gemara says, no, the children helped him carry all the heavy stuff. by Vasa Yankev Levad, he was left all by himself, four lines from the bottom. Amar Ablozen Shinishtar Al Pachin Ktan. The little pieces of junk. That, not suitcases, not heavy valises, things. The heavy things the children helped them. But Yag Lavinu wasn't Levatar on anything. So he went back to take the Pachim Ktanim. Mikan, we learned from this pasuk, Yag Lavinu puts his life in danger. Somebody goes and mugs him, he puts his life in danger in order to get the little Pachim Ktanim, the little jars of whatever it is. He left behind a jar of honey or whatever, a lollipop and a candy bar. So what did he put his life in danger to the extent that somebody beats him up? So you see from this, the moral of the story, Mekan the Tzaddik, Mishal Chav Avalem Amanim, Yosem Begufam, they're more makbet about every penny that they have, more so than on their good health. Why does the Hamishugaz? The answer is, the Gemara said, because it's Kosher of Adin Tegelt. They didn't, they're not Nenim and Agezel, the Kol Kach Loma. Why do they have such a Kruma attitude? They're more worried about the Pachin Ktanim, about their little insignificant possessions, and about the good health. The answer is Lefish ain't pushed him a day in Begezel, because all the property that he had, he worked for a living. He was a shepherd for Lavan for so many years. Mm-hmm. It was all kosher for Adin to Geltz. Everything was chavit by him. If a person cheats in business and easy come, easy go, so he gets all this money and millions of dollars rolling here, there, so he doesn't care so much if he loses the money. But the tzaddikim, all of their possessions belongs to them. It's not Gezel. So that's why they're makbid on their property, even to put their lives a little bit sakon. Not muta. No, you're not allowed to put your life besafik sakon. No, not only put your life, but even to harm yourself. You're not allowed to do that. He didn't think anything would happen, but why wasn't he concerned? So because it was his property that belonged to him, beheter, not begezel. So he was makbid on every penny. Yeah. So what happened? What was the end of the story? Somebody beat him up and he broke his leg. What's the moral of the story? What lesson do you learn? The moral of the story is Tamachachim shouldn't go walk at night. In the daytime, people will see, so he'll be protected. At nighttime, somebody can beat you up and no one will know. So you shouldn't, Tamachachim shouldn't go Yechidi Balayla, because it's dangerous. There's a whole discussion. Why only Tamachachim? What a non-Tamachachim? Why is only a Tamachachim? Means everybody's jealous of the Tamachachim. The Mazikim, Tosfos said, Mazikim are jealous of the Talmid HaChachamim. They'll give him. I don't know. That's what the Gemara says. Tamachachim shouldn't go Yechidi Balayla. Yeah. And this idea maybe can be learned out from other psukim as well. Rabba Bakan Amar Melcha, the same lesson can be learned from another posik. It says, when Rus HaMa'aviyah converted, she came back to Eretz Yisrael from Eretz Moav, and she was talking to Naomi, her mother-in-law, and she says she wants to convert, she wants to be Mekabel on Mitzvah, she wants to observe the Jewish religion. And then she started taking Matnas Aniyim by the field of Boaz. So Naomi tells her she should go to the field, and Boaz is for sure going to sleep overnight in the barn. He's not going to go back home because he's going to be working all day long on the field and till the nighttime. And then he's the Talmud Chacham, he's not going to walk home by himself. Talmud Chacham is not going to walk home by Laila. So he's going to sleep there. So you sleep over there also, and you confront him in the middle of the night, and you ask him whether he wants to marry you or not. So Naomi tells her daughter-in-law, Rusa Ma'aviyah, Hinehu Zoris, Goren Hasorim, he's not going to come home tonight. He's going to sleep in the barn because of Tamachochem, Al Yetzi Yechidi Balayla. So you see the same lesson from over there. You learn it from Yaakov Avinu, it's a recommendation, because Yaakov, look what happened to him. Someone beat him up because he went Yechidi Balayla. But here you see that was the assumption. Naomi knew that Boaz is not going to go home because he's going to be working all day long and he's not going to go home by Lila by himself.
Was Boaz married to anybody else?
I think he was. He had a regular wife. This is before the Chaim de Rabbeinu Geshem. They would take more than one wife.
So how come he didn't walk home earlier so that he could be at long
all day? He had to do work, yeah. Rashi says he had to do work a whole day.
Rashi said that she died.
Oh, the wife died. Oh yeah, I forgot already. Ah, Shem Fagessen. Okay. Rabbi Bo has the same idea based on a different pasuk that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't go yichidi balayla, because it says Vayashkem Avraham baboiker. Avraham Avinu went to take care of things in the morning. Why didn't he take care of it the night before? So the answer is because Avraham Avinu was a Talmud Chacham, and a Talmud Chacham shouldn't go yichidi balayla. See, there's a whole tesis. Which pasuk are they quoting? This pasuk, the one that's printed in our Gemara, Vayashkem Avraham baboiker v'yachvesh chaschamoro by the Akedah. So he took Yitzchak with him, and he took Shnei Noravimo, so that wasn't Yechidi. There were four people going there, Avram and two Avadim and Yitzchak. So why is that Yechidi? Why is that Yechidi? That what? Yishmael also. Yishmael was one of them, yeah. So Taisus doesn't like that. So Taisus thinks there must be a different pasuk. That Vayashkem Avram Baboker al Hamakam Shamat Shom Batchilo, when he's praying for Sodom, so he wanted to pray for Sodom. He didn't want to pray in the presence of other people. It's going to sound so strange. He's going to pray that the Rebbeinu Shlom shouldn't punish the people in Sodom. Amar were evil people, but still Avram Avinu didn't want them to lose. He wanted them to do tshuva. He didn't want them to lose their lives. So he wanted to pray to the Rebbeinu Shalom not to punish the people in Sodom. Ula yesh chamishim tzadikim, ula yesh asorah tzadikim, all the tefillahs that he offered. So why didn't he daven the night before? So because he wanted to daven from a certain location. He wanted to daven in the same location we had previously davened. And so balayla, you don't go. Tam Chacham doesn't go yichidi balayla. So he didn't go bayom. Each one has a different source for the same idea. But Rabbanan Ami Mehocha, the Talmidim and the Yeshiva, each Amora had a different mocker, and the Talmidim had a different mocker. That when Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef, Lechno Re'ei, Shlom Achech, Shlom Atzon, Yosef was younger than the other brothers. Yosef stayed home with the father. The other brothers were grazing the animals. So the father says, Lechno Re'ei, go take a look how things are going. So Rashi explained, where do you see in the pasuk that it was Bayom and not Balayla? Yosef is the Talmud Chacham. So Yosef went Bayom because it says, Lech Nore'ei, Bizman Be'esh Adam Yochaliris, Rashi says. It's in the daytime. So Yaakov sent him in the daytime, not in night time, because the Talmud Chacham shouldn't go Yechidi Balayla. And Rav Amar, and each one, five sources for the same thing. Rav Amar Me'ochav, Yizach Lo HaShemesh. That Yaakov Avinu only traveled to continue to travel in the daytime. He didn't travel at night because Talmud Chacham shouldn't go balayla. Yeah. Then the next story in the Gemara is interesting. There's a Mishnah like this in the Goyim. You have it like this. Here the Mishnah, the Gemara has Omer Rabbi Akiva. Sha'alti is Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi. Best Rabbi Yeshua beitlis shel imum, a certain city. There was a butcher shop. Itlis, a butcher shop in the city imum. What were they doing in the butcher shop? Rabbi Gamliel's son was getting married, so he had to get flesh for the wedding. Shehoch alikach behema lemishta benosher Rabbi Gamliel. They were going to buy flesh for a chasana. So, and the Mishnah says they were talking and learning. When they were buying the flesh for the chassid, talking about Mishnah and the Goyim, and different places you have. So here he's talking a little about Agadita, but yeah, they were talking in Halacha also. And the Mishnah points it out. The reason why we say the whole background of the story, you should know the Tanoim were always thinking and learning. We're always talking and learning, even though we're making preparations for the weddings. So Rabbi Akiva says, yes, the Tanoim, he was younger. So yes, the older Tanoim a question. What does it say? Vayizlach lo Hashemesh. The Malach broke Yaakov Avinu's legs, and the next morning the sun was shining for him, and then he traveled on his way. Vayizlach lo Hashemesh. The sun was shining for Yaakov. Chishemesh lo levad zorcha, v'alo lechol olam zorcha. The sun shines on everybody. It's a very funny expression. Vayizlach lo Hashemesh. The sun was shining for him. So the answer must be Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. He must be also a Tana. He was there at the time. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shemesh Habo Bavuro, The Ribbono Shel Olam caused the sun to set because of Yaakov Avinu earlier than it should have set, miraculously. So the Shemesh, Haboa Bavuro, the sun set specifically for Yaakov Avinu. So years later, Zorcha Bavuro, the sun shines for him, Tichsiv. And this is a famous Rashi and Chumash quotes. He went to Choram. So he already went from, he lived in Hebron with his Aram Yitzchak, they all lived in Hebron. So he goes to Choram. Then it says, then he stops off in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is on the way between, he passed it already. If you go from Hebron to Choram, he already passed Yerushalayim. So it says already, Vayelach Harana, and then Vayivka Bamokim, he bumps into Yerushalayim. So Gemara says, what must have been like this, Kimota Lacharan, he arrived in Choran. Omer, he said to himself, what did I do? Efshar Avati Amokim Shispala Voisai, I passed by Yerushalayim, Anila Hispalalti, I didn't even stop off. That's a Mokim Amyuchad Letfila. All the others, that's where the Akida was, that's where they knew that Yerushalayim is a special place. So he decided he better go back. Kad Yaiv Daite Lemedar, when he made up his mind, Kishehechlit, Kad Yaiv Daite made up his mind, he's going to go back to Yerushalayim to Davin, Kopsale Ara. So he had a Kvitzus Haderech and he arrived quickly. Miyad, he arrives in Yerushalayim, Vayivka Bamokim, and he davens. So after he finished davening, Shan Yoitzig events, and now he wants to go back to Choran. He was going to Choran. Katzoli, when he finished davening, Boy Lemeda, he wants to go back to Choran, where he was originally going. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu said, the Baruch Shalom said, that's not right. Tzarek Bo Zeh, Yankov Avinu Bo LeBeis Maloni, he stops off in Yerushalayim and he davens in the Mokam HaMikdash, but he put the below Lina, shouldn't sleep over. So the Baruch Shalom caused the sun to set right away, earlier than it should have otherwise set, so Yankov had no brayer, Miyad Bo HaShemesh, and then he went to sleep over there in Yerushalayim. And then, so the sun set earlier than otherwise, a miracle occurred. Sun set earlier than otherwise, because the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted Yaakov Avinu to sleep over in Yerushalayim. So years later, and then he stayed in Choran for quite a few years, and he got married to Rachel Valeya and Bilhah VeZilpah, and he had all the Shvatim. Then when he came back, then the Malach broke his leg on the way back, and then, Vayizach Lo HaShemesh, just like the sun set earlier than otherwise, a miracle occurred because of Yaakov Avinu, Baruch Shalom wanted him to sleep over in Yerushalayim. So now the sun rose earlier because the Baruch Shalom wanted Yaakov Avinu to return back to Eretz Yisrael earlier. So once the Gemara is talking already about that incident, so it says when he slept over in Yerushalayim, so he wanted to have something to put his head on. So the Gemara sees here a contradiction. On the one hand, the one pasuk says Ve'ikach me'avne hamokim in the plural. There were a few stones there, and then it says when he woke up in the morning, Ve'ikach ha'se'aven ha'shesamer ha'sheh. So it's only one stone. So Taisus points out what the Ibn Ezra Chumash points out. Taisus here points out k'siv. They don't really see a contradiction. The thief shuto Taisus says Yeshu lefarsh. He took one of the several stones that were there. Ve'ikach me'avne hamokim. It doesn't say that he took a few stones. Took one of the stones and he put it Mirash Yosef. He slept on it. But the Gemara considers it a bit of a contradiction. It sounds like he took a few stones, and then when he woke up in the morning, all of a sudden, the few stones blended in to become one stone. So what happened over here? Rabbi Yitzchak, that's that Tana who started explaining by Yitzchak Lo HaShemesh, the same Rabbi Yitzchak, he's explaining Malamed, Sheneskapsa Kolosim Abanim Lamokam Echwa Chalach Zrach Zamerus Alay Anirach Tzadik Es Rosho. That's what the Mesillas Yerushalayim has in the introduction to the Sefer. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world that it should serve in Avodas Hashem. Everything in the world yearns to serve in Avodas Hashem. So when a tzaddik is passing by, all the stones are yearning, they have a desire. It's not like a human being, but there's a natural inclination. Everything in the world wants to have a meaning to its creation. So everything wants to serve in Avodas Hashem. So each stone wanted Alay Anir Tzaddik is Rosho. So a miracle occurred, Tana, the Brisa says, Kulam Nivlu Ke'echad, they all blended in together, so that's when he woke up in the morning, said, Vayikach Ha'sa'evan, Ha'shesamer Ha'sheisa. Everything in the world wants to, its fulfillment of its creation is accomplished when it serves the tzaddik. The Rambam has such a comment. in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Briski Ravka would say this in the beginning of the Sefer HaChumash, the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos has a mashal. He says a sheik builds a palace in the middle of the desert, and he has women dancing all night long, and he's throwing parties, and they're drinking beer and schnapps and wine and hullying all the time. Has no value at all. The women and parties are a waste of time. So what did the Rebbeinu Shlom allow him to? What was accomplished by this palace that he made? And a scholar is traveling by, a philosopher, a thinker, a rabbi is traveling by, and he's exhausted from traveling in the desert, and he takes a nap in the shade of the building. The sun is beating down on him, and the sun is at a diagonal. So he sleeps on that side of the building where the shade is. So the Chacham sleeps there for an hour, and he regains his strength, and now he can go further traveling. So the whole building had a value in being built. All the years that it was standing had no value whatsoever. The sheikh just had parties and eating and drinking and women, and finally had value. So everything in the world was created to serve the tzaddikim and avodas Hashem. Everything in the world is like that. I remember when, this many years ago, one of the Gerer Rebbes died, probably the Imre Yemes, a long time ago, around 50 years ago. The Gerer Rebbe died. So I remember in the Israeli newspapers, they printed special issues. They were saying over different Vertlof in this Gerer Rebbe. So they had an interesting incident that there was a Gerer Chassid who was a Sofer. So he told the Rebbe, he has a Chumrah, he has a Midas Chassidus, that even though the Gemara says, you can't write tefillin and mezuzah, say, for that, you can't write and hide from a non-kosher animal. It has to be from a kosher animal, but it doesn't have to be kosher geshachten. If it died a natural death, or it's an avela, you can also use it. So he, the chassid, tells the Rebbe, he's makpid, that he only uses glatt kosher geshachten, a behemoth, to hide from them, and he converts it into parchment, that's his chumrah. So the Rebbe told him, I think you should do fakir. The hida would be to use datka from the nevelas. He says, the kosher geshacht in the beim is the glad kosher. The flesh served the avodas Hashem, because tzaddik can make the flesh, and it gives him a kach to daven, and to do mitzvahs, and to learn, and to do maisim tovim. But nebuch, the behemoths that died, and he can eat the flesh, the nevelas, so they never served the avodas Hashem. So the other rabbi, you do a service to the hide of the nevelas, you can't use from a behemoth to mayor. It's possible, the tefillin will be possible, but you should dafke use from a kosher behemoth that was an avela, so that will also serve in avodas Hashem. So that's based on this idea that the Mesilas Yerushalmi has in the Hagdamah, that everything in the nature of the world yearns to serve in avodas Hashem. Then the Gemara is going to continue about the dream that Yaakov Avinu had. Okay, next week, but later we'll continue. There is a Gemara Masechah Shabbos where the Gemara quotes a braisa from the days of the Tanoim, that there was a minhag. It's not a din, it's a minhag, but it's already from the days of the Tanoim. That's 2,000 years old. When you get dressed in the morning, so you put on the right shoe first, then you put on the left shoe, then you tie the shoelace on the left shoe, then you tie the shoelace on the right shoe. What is that all about? So the Gemara explains why. It's a very old minhag. It's not a din, it's a very old minhag from the days of the Tanoim. We're assuming everybody's a righty. It's not exactly so. We're assuming everybody's a righty, like the Malachim over here. So we want to demonstrate that all day long, everything we do, b'chol derachecha do'ehu, the Rambam says, not only when we're putting on tefillin, we're davening, and we say, b'rocha ha'moitzi, and b'rchas ha'mozim, when you get dressed, and when you go to sleep, and when you go to work, everything is avodas Hashem. B'chol derachecha do'ehu. If you do everything l'shem shamayim, a person eats food, in order to be healthy, in order to be able to daven and to do mitzvahs and to learn Torah, so the eating of the food is a mitzvah, and he raises his children, he's with his wife, and he raises children, he has a panah, everything does l'shem shamayim, to do all the mitzvahs, raising children, to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation, so everything is included in avodas Hashem. So we put on, just like the Kohanim and the Beis Hamikdash have to do the avodah with the right hand, and if he does the avodah b'smol, it's pasul, based on Psukim, the Gemara learns it out. So too, everything in life can be elevated to the level of Avodas Hashem, like Avodas, like Akrovas HaKabbalah. So you put on the right shoe first. The putting on the shoe, the getting dressed in the morning, is a part of Avodas Hashem. So why do you tie the left shoelace first? So, because everyone who's a righty puts tefillin on the left arm. So since the left side is more important than the raisa with respect to tying things. So tying the shoelace, you're tying a shoelace, so you tie the shoelace on the left foot first, because the left side of the body is more important when it comes to tying knots. What's the connection between the tying the shoelaces and the tefillin? So Rabbi Kivegra, on the bottom of the page of the Shulchan Aruch, refers you to the Sefer on Chumash on this week's Sedra by the Hafloah, that after there was a war between the four kings and the five kings, and Avraham Avinu wanted to save his nephew Lot. Lost out over here. He was taken captive by the four kings, won the war. So Avraham Avinu put together a little army, and according to the Medrash, it was a one-man army. So Avraham Avinu and Eliezer, and they won the whole war. The Pasuk says that he had 318 soldiers. And the Gemara says, the Gematria of Eliezer is 318. He had one soldier in the army, and he won the war. So then Melech Sodom is so appreciative, so he says, Ten li anefesh v'chush kach loch. He wants to give him everything. So Avraham Avinu says, he doesn't want to take, he wants to make a Kiddush Hashem. He doesn't want to take anything from him. So he refuses. He says he's not going to take Nechut Vatzrech now. So because the Gemara says in Chulin, because Avraham Avinu accomplished a Kiddush Hashem, that he refused to take Nechut Vatzrech now, so his descendants, the Jewish people, were Zechut to Chut Eitzitzis, because he refused to take Chut, and we were Zechut to the Ritzus of Tefillin, which are like Tzrech now, shoe straps. We wear shoelaces that are strings. But if you ever saw a chalitza shoe, the straps on the chalitza shoe are exactly like the ritzus of the tefillin, the same width, and they're black on one side and white on the other side, exactly the same. Years ago, that's how shoes used to be. They didn't have shoelaces, they had shoe straps, and the shoe straps are mamish, like ritzus of tefillin. So Rabbi Kivegi refers you to the Hafloah Sefer on Chumash, that he says the reason why we want to make the left side is more important with respect to tying the shoelaces, because he put tefillin on, because there's a connection between the tefillin and the shoelaces. Because Avraham Avinu refused to take the srech now, that's why his descendants were zecha to the ritzuas of tefillin, because the ritzuas are the same as the srech now. So we have this ancient minik from 2,000 years ago, from the days of the Tanoim, to demonstrate that everything in our lives is avodas Hashem. Like Kohanim and the Beis Hamikdash, do the Avodah with the right hand, our lefty is possible to do Avodah, because he can't do Bimin. And we want to reminisce about the Kiddush Hashem that Avraham Avinu did. We have Minhagim based on the Psukim and the Sedra. We have a lot of Minhagim based on the Psukim to demonstrate that we too have in mind that in our daily lives we should do a Kiddush Hashem, we should act in a proper way. And it will be b'chol d'rachecha d'vei, not only avodas Hashem when you're doing actual mitzvahs, but you do all day long should be considered avodas Hashem. Aleichem shalom, a good year.
It seems to me that when the Avonim were fighting to be under Yaakov's head, possibly Moshe's, the head of Moshe by hitting, he should have maybe realized that he could talk to them rather than everything.
It doesn't mean the Avonim had seichel, they can hear, they can talk. No.
Yeah.
I mean, all of nature yearns, because all of nature only has value that it was created if it serves its tzaddik.
So all of nature. A beautiful marshal.
The Rambam's marshal,
yeah.
Everybody down here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.